Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
So about a month ago, I decided I needed to go to Israel. I needed to understand what my friends and family, what my larger family was going through. And so I found a group of rabbis, and I went. But my education began before I left. I texted my friend, Ruti Yair Nussbaum, a wonderful teacher of Torah who lives in Jerusalem. And I told her I'd love to see her, and here's what she wrote. I've translated this into English. She said, "Indeed, life is very, very hard. We are going from funeral to Shiva to funeral to Shiva." Then she wrote, "Chalalim, chalalim, chilulim, chilulim." What I understood from that, I'm not totally sure, but great emptiness, or maybe slain and fallen, desecrated. Everyone is drafted. And in the same message, she didn't skip a beat. She said, and with all that, our Yeshaya, her oldest son, is getting married next week. She said, life is a complete blender. Hachayim blender gamur. We are trying to hold it all, and it's not simple at all. And I wasn't able to be at the wedding, even though I was in Israel, but I watched the video, and it was amazingly joyous. That's when I began to get a visceral sense of what life is like in Israel at this moment. That's when I learned that life continues amidst ongoing tragedy that has become routine. My education continued when I got off the plane the Monday before last. It wasn't only the posters of the remaining hostages that dotted our way through the long hall on the way to passport control. It was that the airport itself was empty. Never had I seen Ben Gurion that way. And then when I got there, we began to meet with people, hearing things like, everything we believed in was shattered on October 7th. Our sense of safety was robbed from us. We are not okay. We are like broken vases mended together by glue. And again, I heard this. We have no choice. We must protect ourselves. Everyone we met knew someone or knew the family member of someone who was massacred, were brutalized or kidnapped on October 7th. All my friends' children are serving in the army. This is a country besieged. This is something I couldn't really quite get before I got there. What I saw was not PTSD, not at all. There's nothing post about this trauma. This was pure trauma with no space or time for healing, for recovery. Instead, people were experiencing loss after loss, sustained anxiety, and ongoing horror. As my friend Ruti said, from funeral to Shiva to funeral to Shiva, with constant missile attacks, with new information about the atrocities committed on October 7th, revealed day after day, intensifying the horror, the grief. On our mission, we traveled to Kfar Aza, a kibbutz about 2 miles from the Gazan border. This kibbutz was described once upon a time as Gan Eden, as the Garden of Eden, and it was in ruins. On October 7th, about 50 people were murdered and 17 people taken hostage. We also heard a detailed and tragic account of a survivor from the Nova Music Festival. We heard from family members of hostages who've received no information, no clue as to their family members' whereabouts since October 7th. It was our hope that being there, bearing witness, would bring just a small bit of comfort to the people we met. And people kept thanking us for coming as if we were the heroes. Somehow it meant so much to them that we just showed up. It's as if the entire country is sitting Shiva and no one is coming to make Shiva visits. But we also bore witness to something else. Something which I talked about last Friday night at a shul in Jerusalem called Kol HaNeshama. We bore witness to extraordinary love, devotion, and strength. We saw the rising up of civil society at a time of abandonment. We visited a massive complex in Omer with scores of volunteers cooking hot meals for soldiers and preparing comfortable places for them to sleep just so they could have a few days' respite. A large sign on the welcoming tent said, "We are wrapping you in love." We went to Tel Aviv and toured a huge effort by Achim Leneshek, Brothers in Arms, who collect and distribute much needed items for soldiers. We went to Hostage Square, Kikara Chatufim, in Tel Aviv, and prayed for the release of the hostages. We witnessed abandonment and we witnessed care. We saw endless love in action. We witnessed people standing up for the soul of Israel. So what does this have to do with the Parsha? We are now in the last Parsha of Genesis, right? Vayechi, in the last week of the secular year. It strikes me that this is an especially painful book, this book that we are closing. This is not a book where brothers and sisters stand up for each other. I mean, think about it. Just go through your head for a moment. Cain kills Abel. Yishmael and Hagar are exiled into the wilderness. Jacob steals a blessing from his brother Esau, who wants to murder him. And then Joseph, poor Joseph, thrown into a pit by his brothers. And then he's sold in slavery to Egypt. And they don't think about him for years until their hunger, because a famine ensues, brings them to Egypt. God asks Cain, "Where is your brother?" After he murdered him, he said, "Lo yadati, I don't know. Hashomer achi anochi, am I my brother's keeper?" As if that was a ridiculous thing. This whole book of Genesis, brothers and sisters are not one another's keepers. Except for maybe Joseph, who fed and took care of his family. As we bring this book full of violence and deception and treachery to an end, I yearn for a new story. I yearn for a new book. I yearn for brothers and sisters who stand up and say, "I am my brother's guardian. I am my sister's guardian. Ani hashomer. Ani hashomeret." And lo and behold, we are blessed to open up a new book. A book called Shmot, Exodus, a book of liberation. That is our book in 2024. And we find a very different story of shomrim and shomrot, of guardians, of brothers and sisters who stand up for each other. Miriam watches over her baby brother. Moses, who doesn't want to accept the mantle of saving his people because he has no words, and God says to him, wait, Aaron, he has words. And he actually says something really interesting to him. He says, "Aaron's coming now. He'll be happy to see you." Do you remember any brothers in the book of Genesis that are actually happy to see each other? Miriam is a sister of her imperiled baby brother. She's identified only as the baby sister, no name, because she fulfills the role of being a sister, of being a shomeret. She stands watch over him until she knows he is safe, until She knows he will be taken care of. But there's more. This book goes beyond being a good brother or sister. This book begins with midwives, Hamildot HaIvriot. Now, there's two ways you can understand those midwives. Some say they were Jewish or they were Hebrews, and they tended to laboring women. And others say they were Egyptian, and they defied the Pharaoh in saving the children of these Hebrew women. They somehow transcended their identity to save the babies of the enemy. And there is, of course, the daughter of Pharaoh, right, who has pity, who has compassion, batachmol, right, she has chemla, she has compassion for this little infant Hebrew baby. So it's not only brothers and sisters. The book of Exodus gives us people who somehow reach across boundaries and have compassion for one another. And even Moses, when he runs away from Egypt because he's going to be found out and killed by the Pharaoh, he ends up in Midian, and he protects these seven Midianite sisters from these shepherds who are harassing them. This book is the gift of a new and different dream about how life can be between brothers, between sisters and brothers, between enemies and strangers. I don't know how we can achieve this dream. I don't know if we can, but I yearn for it. I witnessed over the span of a week how Israelis stood up for one another, stood up for their brothers and sisters in the face of horror, in the face of abandonment. So many mobilized out of care, out of love, saying, Ani HaShomer, Ani HaShomeret. And I will tell you that so many people I met and my friends said, I have no capacity for compassion right now. I can't do it. I'm too full of pain. I'm too full of fear for the fate of this country. But Exodus holds out a dream. Exodus holds out a dream of not only standing up for the brother, for sister, but compassion for the other. And I'm wondering now, as we end this book of Genesis, as we end this cycle of violence, as we enter this new book of liberation, how much can we hold in our hearts? My friend Ruti asked me, she said, Lo livaker, livaker. Don't criticize Israel, visit Israel. And I told her, I don't want to criticize, I want a new dream. And she said, we all need a new dream. That old new dream is the book of Exodus, is the book of Shemot, is the book of potential liberation. May we dream an old new dream in 2024. May we live a new story. May we serve as shomrim and shorot, guardians of the other's well-being and safety. I don't know how we will get there. I have no idea. But I think the blueprint is waiting for us in the Torah, right? This ancient document that maybe points the way forward. May the one who holds all human suffering, the sacred stories of all, help make it so.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.